Saturday, and it's time to talk with our financial expert, Nan Lesnick. She is the retirement expert here on Power Talk Radio 1460 and 101 FM. Good morning, Nan.
Good morning, Mark.
And by the way, very Merry Christmas to you. The big day just 3 days away now.
Yep, we're almost there.
Yeah, and we had a chance the other day to talk a little bit about famous estate planning blunders, and not as a way of making fun of anyone, but illustrating how critical it is to have a plan in place and to get in touch with the right folks about preserving what you've worked so hard to build up throughout your working life. And in a number of cases, and the ones we're going to share with you here, these famous celebrities did not do that, and their heirs are poorer, literally, for it. We gave you the story of Prince on Thursday, that $100 million of his estate lost to estate taxes.
Right, because he had no planning done whatsoever.
And he had no will. He died intestate. Now, we have Whitney Houston, whose daughter inherited $2 million upon her turning 21. Now, Whitney Houston did have a will, Nan, and she drew it up in 1993, and it called for her daughter to receive 10% of Houston's estate at the age of 21 and the rest later on.
Yep. Okay, so this is an example. Obviously, these are somewhat extreme, but driving the point home to the folks that we deal with on a daily basis, she never revised her planning. Okay, she drew it up in 1993, 1 month before her daughter, Bobby Christina, was born, and she never revised that. And as a result of that, even her fortune grew, Whitney Houston's did. So when she died in 2012, her estate was worth $20 million. So her daughter got $2 million with no strings attached. Now, she may have actually been the beneficiary of more, but she directly got $2 million, but she couldn't handle it. She died in 2015 as a result of drowning and drug intoxication. And what we said there is had she placed the money in trust with her mother or another trusted person serving as trustee, Bobby Christina's inheritance could have been doled out in a more suitable manner. In other words, and we face this sometimes with clients, I ask clients very early in my time with them, do your children or their significant others have drug or alcohol issues? And the reason for that is because it often stands in the way of people doing their estate planning because they don't want to face up to it. And in fact, it can end up being more harmful. So in this particular case, it had her mother, who was, Whitney Houston's mother was like her manager.
Right.
She could have managed that and perhaps been able to help Bobby Christina in recovery. But as it was, Bobby Christina, like I said, she got $2 million tax-free cash plunked on her, and she was off to the junkie or off to the drug dealer.
Right.
So tragic.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Here's another one. Philip Seymour Hoffman had a $12 million of estate lost to estate taxes and two children not provided for. And he did something that so many people do, celebrities and regular folk, and that is they might be in a domestic partnership with somebody else, right? Like in this case, Hoffman had a longtime girlfriend, and he left his estate to her, but he didn't understand and probably never really talked very much to an estate planner or anyone who had knowledge of these kinds of things, but he never knew that an unmarried domestic partner does not get the unlimited marital deduction that would have saved them a lot. And so if you're, it's a wonderful thing to say, I'm going to take care of you after I'm gone. Anything happens to me, I'm going to take care of you. But the reality is that if you don't tie the knot, there are some really good tax advantages to tying the knot, and you need to know what they are.
Well, especially if that person you're thinking about tying the knot with is the other parent of your children. Now, she had the care of the children, and yes, she did have some fairly sufficient, more than $20 million. However, $12 million was lost to estate taxes and no provision for the children. So what is she going to continue to take care of the children in the way that he would have expected? That remains a mystery. Mm-hmm. Maybe so, maybe not. And I have this conversation also with people frequently. When you die, your relationship with your in-laws changes dramatically. Now, fortunately, there are many situations where where the surviving spouse is as dear to the, let's just say it's the wife who dies, that her parents love their son-in-law just as much as they always did. But then there are other things that come along. If this death occurred early on in a marriage, he may decide to remarry. Well, that might change everything. Okay. So, and as those wedges are drawn, the estate planning gets more convoluted, or what I should say more than anything else is the estate planning does not get addressed or updated. And then all of a sudden someone is gone and the intent isn't fulfilled because the documents didn't support the intent. So,
yep. And by the way, Nan, this marital deduction, if you don't have that, if you're not able to use that, is the tax bite pretty similar no matter what the size of the estate might be? I mean, we're talking about people who had rather large estates, but let's say it's someone with very modest assets, only $500,000 or even mm-hmm. less. Would they still get hit with the same kind of a bite?
Well, if they die, yeah. In the circumstance that we're talking about here, yes. If they were not set up to use the unlimited marital deduction, then the estate is, well, no, it wouldn't be so bad. But there's something else.
But okay? It would still be bad. Else. I mean, it would be worse than
it. It would still be bad.
Yeah.
Because that person would, and let's just say that it's me, that I have a significant other who passes away. If I am not married to him and I'm dependent on him financially, I'm not going to get his Social Security benefit. I'm not his widow.
Right.
I'm his girlfriend. And I'm the girlfriend of a dead boyfriend. And I am out in the cold financially when it comes to many of the financial planning opportunities that exist for people when they are married. I want to tell you, I have a little bit of, I kind of laugh about this, a marriage practice here, because I oftentimes am visited by people who are saying, what are the reasons why we should get married? And I go through some of them, they go, okay, I think we will. I mean, I've had some people say, we're not getting married. And then after we go through things and substantial assets and so forth and so on, they go, you know what? I think we will get married.
Yeah.
So.
Nan, have you got a calendar handy?
Yeah, no kidding.
One of the other things here, too, if the person, let's say the estate consists of maybe a 401k or an IRA, individual retirement account with money in it, and let's say there's a life insurance policy and you leave it to your significant other, you're not married to them. For example, on the life insurance payout, would they still have to pay the taxes on that?
No.
Okay.
Life insurance benefits paid to a named beneficiary are not subject to tax.
Okay. Let me tell you
something I just learned when I was at a conference earlier this month. I learned that beneficiary designations on life insurance policies, when there has been a change in marital status, are really a bone of contention. Okay, there are some circumstances under which, by state law, that the insurance company is bound to pay the new spouse, not the ex-spouse.
Ah.
So their quadro is a qualified domestic relations order. A quadro generally says, for instance, that Mark must maintain the life insurance policy with Nan as the beneficiary, and that's part of the divorce agreement.
Interesting. Okay.
If it doesn't say that, and let's just say it's a $500,000 policy, that comes up for grabs by Mark's new wife, because she says, oh, wait a minute, I'm the wife and this is a community property state. So there are sticky wickets there. And that's why when we work with somebody, we're not just talking about what should you do with your IRA or when should you take your Social Security. All that's important. But then if we're talking about providing a lifetime of financial security to you and those people who are important to you, these things become very important because they can disrupt, as you see here.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting. The last one I really want us to just briefly mention is that Jim Morrison's girlfriend's parents got most of his fortune.
Amazing.
Because he had a will. He left everything to his girlfriend with a stipulation that if she died within the first 3 months, the estate would be split between his brother and sister. I would imagine that in his delirium, he thought that she wouldn't possibly live 3 months longer than he did. He probably figured if he was going to die from a drug overdose, she was going to go with him. But that didn't happen, and she inherited the estate. She lived another only 3 years years, by the way, but never saw much of the estate. It was tied up in probate. And when she died without a will, the money she inherited from him went to her parents because bloodlines become more important than anything there. And I'm sure that that's not what was intended.
Right. And then later on, the estate was eventually split 50-50 between the two sets of parents, and the brother and sister who Morrison had apparently wanted to share in the estate ended up with nothing. So what it all speaks to, and by the way, I think that we talked about this off the air, but just because someone is a great musician, entertainer, comedian, it doesn't mean that they necessarily know what they're doing with their money. Oftentimes, these folks don't do very good planning. Now, some of these folks, they get into old age and they seem to be doing okay because maybe they've made so much that they just couldn't possibly waste it all or spend it all. I'm thinking of the individual Beatles, right? You always figure it. I mean, as popular as the Beatles catalog has been, that the four members of that group would be pretty well set in their retirement years because quite frankly, how could you spend all that money? I mean, it was just such an incredible amount of money. Now, Paul McCartney, obviously a very smart businessman because he's done very, very well for himself. And we don't know what John Lennon would have done because he died rather young. And of course, George Harrison passed away from cancer a number of years ago, but Ringo's still out there. And he was the least talented member of that group. And boy, did he draw the lucky card in life's lottery because Ringo Starr is very well set. He's no McCartney, but you don't need to have any benefit dinners or telethons for Ringo Starr in his later years. But a lot of entertainers, a lot of celebrities have ended up in just the most terrible financial condition in later years because they made a lot of money, but they spent a lot of money and they really never thought of providing for their future. They are really kind of an object lesson. Athletes are much the same. And they oftentimes, like entertainers, surround themselves with posses of people that help them spend the money. But when the money runs out, those folks are nowhere to be seen. It's a cautionary kind of tale. And so
sure is.
It's good to talk about it today. Anyway, Nan Lesnick has been our guest. And if you don't want to make these same mistakes, give Nan a call in the new year at 831-656-0236. Online, lesnickcompany.com. Nan@lesnickcompany.com is her email. Nan, thanks very much. And once again, Merry Christmas to you and Mark. And we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. And Merry Christmas to you, too.